David, Don, indeed, there is room at the table for everyone. Well, good morning. Thank you for coming out today. It is good to see everyone here. The title of my talk today is Spiritual Activism. Now, I'm not talking about getting out and storming the LIO or, or Juno or anything else. What I'm talking about in terms of spiritual activism is an inside job. And it is exactly like the lyrics of the song, "Let our hearts not be hardened to those living on the margin. There is room at the table for everyone." So to help me frame this, I use an acronym. As a good student of Dr. Roger at Mile High, he's a real fan of acronyms. So I've got an acronym today to help us take the principles by which we live, the things that we say we believe, and put them into practice on an everyday basis. And that acronym is PEACE. The P is for prayer. We say that we embrace prayer. We have all kinds of ways to pray. I have the privilege of seeing the effects of prayer on an almost daily basis in this community. And I wish that I could share with you all of the demonstrations, but they happen virtually every single day. Prayer is effective and prayer works. Make no mistake. But do we always default to prayer? Or do we default to our feelings and maybe some of the other things that were inside of us? There's a lady by the name of Kendra Powell who told a powerful story. Not long ago, she was on her way to work in the early morning hours, and she saw a car at the side of the road, and it had its trunk up. And because the trunk was up, she didn't see the lights on top. And she pulled over next to it to stop, and she saw the person come around the side, and there it was, a policeman. And Kendra is an African-American lady, and the policeman came around with something in his hand. She let it be shown that her hands were empty, and she said, "Is everything all right, officer? Do you need any help?" And he said, "Oh, no. He says, "Sorry, I was just washing my windshield. It was dirty, and so I was out washing my windshield." And indeed, in his hand was a bottle of Rain-X and paper towels. And he was proceeding to wash his windshield. And she said, "Oh boy, you got the good stuff." He finished doing his windshield and he stepped up to her. He said, "Hey, do you want me to do yours?" And she said, No, you don't need to do that. "Yeah, it's kind of dirty." And he started to do her windshield. He's squirting her windshield and wiping it off. She looks at the cars going by and there is a white policeman washing the windshield of a black lady. And she thought, "Wow, there's some thoughts going on in some of these cars going by." And at that moment, another car pulled in, and there was an elderly gentleman and his wife. And he said, "Hey, sonny, you mind doing my window too?" And the policeman says, "Nah, sure, I'll be glad to, Grandpa." And he goes in and he starts doing the elderly gentleman's windshield too. And about that time, the elderly gentleman said, "What do I owe you there, sonny?" And he said, no, there's no charge. I'm just glad to do it for you." "Oh, yeah, all right. I want to give you something." No, that's all right." And at that point, Kendra says, "Well, sir, what can we do for you?" And he thought for a second, and he said, "You could say a prayer." And with that, Kendra was prompted to get out of her car, and she got out, and the elderly couple got out, and they joined in hands, and there they were. Black hand, white hand, old hand, young hand, policeman's hand and civilian's hand joined in prayer at the side of the road in the early dawn light. Prayer. P is for prayer. E is for embrace. And it is in this where we embrace all people, all faiths, all backgrounds, all people, Not just the people that agree with us or the people that look like us or the people that act like us or have the same beliefs as us, but we embrace all people. Remember, and we teach us, we are here by divine appointment. And if you are here by divine appointment, I am here by divine appointment. And so is every other being on this planet. And as such, each and every person is an individualized expression of God. Each and every person is that perfect child of God. While I was working on a story to tell to really embrace this idea of that we are all children of God, through a series of internet accidents that is far, far too big to even explain, I came to the story of a lady by the name of Courtney Westlake. She has a website, and I'll give it to you at the end because I encourage each and every one of you to look at this story. The title of this article that she wrote is, "This is what I wish you would say when your child points at my daughter." And I'll give you a little background. Courtney's little daughter is named Brenna. And Brenna was born with a condition known as harlequin ichthyosis. And she had a very hard shell, if you will, over her whole body. She had little tiny holes where the eyes would be. She had a little tiny hole where the nose and mouth would be. But she was covered in a hard, hard shell. More like a turtle shell, harder than your thumbnails. It's a genetic disorder, and it's extremely rare. This blog just touched my heart of the emotions that went through Courtney when her precious little girl was born what appeared to be less than perfect. And I think we have a slide. There's a picture of little Brenna and Courtney and little Brenna. This is after many operations. This is after this tiny little baby fought through life. At day 5, she got an infection, and that's why there's such a high mortality rate of any babies that are born with this condition. And this little baby fought through it. And yes, she looks different. Yes, she's red. But what a dolly. Oh my God, what a beautiful, beautiful human being. As we enter the playground area, your child immediately points to mine, calling loudly, "Mom, look at her." You quickly hush him, calling to him to quietly reprimand him. Or you're at the end of the same grocery store aisle when your child catches a glimpse of my baby in my cart and asks, "Why is that baby so red?" You practically put your hand over his mouth to stop as much of the question as you can while hurrying around the corner without looking back. Or your children freeze, staring open mouth at my daughter at the library, and you get a rising panic in your eyes as you try to distract them to look anywhere but. I recognize all of this unfolding nearly every day. I hear all of the questions. I glimpse all of the pointing out of the corner of my eye, and I notice all of the whispered comments. I hear you, and I see you, and I feel it all deep within my heart, and it makes it worse when you try then to hide it from me, from us. You're embarrassed, and I understand that. But we're both parents trying to do our best, and we both love our kids fiercely. And when you try to hide these obvious conversations that are happening right in front of us, it feels like you're hiding from our family. It feels like the small, insignificant gap between us that your child has noticed has now grown into a wide-spanning canyon that no one wants to cross. What do I wish you would do? I wish you would invite us into these conversations about us. I wish you would close that small gap by relating to us as you would to any other family on the playground, instead of making the gap bigger by treating us as unapproachable. When your child points and tells you to look, I wish you would respond clearly, "Yes, look at that pretty little girl. It looks like she's having so much fun playing just like you are." When your child asks you, "Why is that baby so red?" or "Why does she look like that?" I wish you would answer honestly, "I'm not sure, but the way someone looks isn't important. We all look different from each other, don't we?" I wish you would encourage your child to say hi and to ask my kids' names. I wish you would apologize without feeling ashamed if your child is offensive right in front of us. "I'm sorry. We're still learning how to ask questions respectfully." It would also go a long way if you tack on, "Your daughter is so cute. How old is she?" And above all, I wish you would talk about differences more often. I wish you would read to your child about differences. And I want all of you to know that right now, our children are in there and they're reading about differences. And they're reading about the country mouse and the city mouse, and how we are differences, and yet we are all one. I wish you would positively and naturally converse about various kinds of differences, from wheelchairs to birthmarks, from Down syndrome to ichthyosis, from racial differences to wearing glasses. Ultimately, I hope that our children learn that if they have questions about someone's appearance, they can ask you later privately so that they don't hurt anyone's feelings, because after all, how we treat each other is more important than how someone looks. So next time, I hope you don't hide. I hope you invite us into your conversation. Instead of a steep divide that places our family on the other side with a do not look at and do not talk to sign, I'd rather be a positive opportunity for your child to learn how to respect and appreciate physical differences. In gaining permission to use this story, I began an email dialogue with Courtney. This is an amazing, amazing lady. And I really urge you to go to her site. And all you have to do is Google Courtney Westlake. And she's got Facebook entries. She has one I hadn't even seen. Ann found it. We were both just taken with this sight and this little girl, but most importantly by this concept of what she's teaching, and that is to see beyond the appearance and see the truth. And this just doesn't have to apply to physical differences or to other kinds of differences. She points out, you know, everything from glasses to you, all of the different things. We can look beyond the differences in all aspects, including our political beliefs. And I'm going to challenge all of you today, because many of us have political beliefs one way or the other. Many of us cannot stand the thought of Donald Trump. And yet I invite you to look within and see the God in Donald Trump. Many of you cannot stand Hillary. I invite you, in the stillness of your own mind, to look beyond and to see the God within Hillary Clinton. I realize that there are many of you who dislike them both. Maybe we should look for what unites us rather than what divides us. The A is for act, peace, P-E-A. Prayer, embrace, and act. There was a big thing not long ago about random acts of kindness. And what a wonderful thing that was, random acts of kindness. I wonder if maybe we should have some deliberate acts of kindness. And that is the purpose of our World Day of Service. That is a deliberate act of kindness. And I hope that anyone who is touched by this message will join us tomorrow night. I don't care if you have experience in visioning or not. We're going to do it in such a way that everyone can participate. And if you'll come a little bit earlier, I'll have a little mini class in visioning. And we can teach you how to vision. And together we will say, we don't even have a project yet. We haven't done anything, zero. But it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. The only thing I know for sure is that whatever it is we do, we're going to have fun. And we'll probably eat. A guy by the name of James Karagiannis had an idea for selling ice cream to the inner city kids. He lived in Buffalo, New York, and he thought, you know, that'd be a great idea. The problem was, with the cost of operations, the cost of the ice cream would be too much for most inner city kids. So what he came up with is an idea, instead of having a truck with the jingle playing that we're kind of all familiar with, he'd be on a bicycle, and he could drive his operating costs down, and he would ride his bicycle into inner city New York, and he could sell his ice cream for a dollar. And that worked. He had a good business model. But every day, his heart just broke. And I have a quote from him. He says, "One of the hardest parts of being an ice cream dude is seeing the disappointment on a kid's face when all of their friends buy an ice cream, but they are left out because they didn't have a dollar." So he went to his backers. He went to some of the people that had helped him in the beginning, and he told them exactly that. He told them how hard it was when kids couldn't do it, and he asked them if they would help out, and the coffers opened. And he got more money that way than he did in his original ask. But he took it one step further. He didn't just give ice cream to the inner city kids. He had a hook with it. And they either had to write a thank you note to one of the donors, or they had to answer a history or a math question. Before long, as he drove into the city, inner city kids were chasing him down. "Ask me a math question. Ask me a math question. I know a history question. Ask me history. I want to write a thank you note." His little one-man operation on a bicycle now has 8 men on bicycles. Bicycle, the ice cream dudes. 8 on a bicycle. But you see, he took action. He took action. C is for connect. July 18th of this year, the Wichita Eagle reports that the headline was, "Black Lives Matter protest becomes barbecue." The Black Lives Matter group got together and were going to have a protest. They did it lawfully. They went to the police department to get a permit. The permit was issued. But the chief of police met with the leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement and said, "You know, your movement is scheduled for, I think it was a Sunday afternoon." And he said, "Rather than just have the protest, would you consider really getting to know the police and the police getting to know your members? Why don't we have a barbecue on Saturday?" And on Saturday, the police showed up, the Black Lives Matter people showed up together, and together they sat down and had a barbecue. And they actually got to know one another. You know, the days of the policeman on the beat have gone. You know, you don't see policemen on a beat in Anchorage anymore, and you don't in other places either. And the police are separated from us by bulletproof windows and by all types of separation. And this was an opportunity for them to come together as human beings, to connect as human beings. Now, it didn't solve all the problems. There were still people that said, oh, you're just trying to buy off our movement by, you know, having a barbecue. And there were still a lot of people that felt marginalized and different. But once again, we get back to the lyrics. Let our hearts not be hardened to those living on the margin. There's room at the table for everyone. Connect with one another. Finally, the last E is for embody. Little town of Cordova, Tennessee is a suburb of Memphis. And in Cordova, Tennessee, there is a fundamentalist Christian church. I believe it's the Heartsong Church. And the piece of property adjacent to them was vacant, and it had been purchased by the Islamic Center of Memphis. And the Muslims proposed to build a center right next to Heartsong. Many of the people in this group were very, very opposed to this. They were angry. They were hurt. They didn't want the Muslims moving in next to them. This is in the days not long after 9/11. There was a lot of fear. But the leaders of Heartsong got together, and after the Muslims had gone all over Memphis, no one would rent to them. No one would lease to them. No one would give them a place to meet. The Heartsong people contacted them and said, you can use our facility after we're done on Sundays. Yeah, they lost members. Some people were fed up and left the center, left their church. But the Muslims came in, had their services. They eventually got their center built. And they meet now in their own center. But what they have done, and is about to happen, they broke ground on it this year, is to build a park and a playground that's common on both lands. It's half on each lands, and everybody can use it. They were able to embody all of the other letters in our acronym. Heartsong took it to prayer and realized what they needed to do. They embraced the people who had different religious beliefs than they did, and they acted on it, and they connected with the Muslims. What I want you to remember and take away today, the final takeaway, I'm going to go all the way back to the sacred reading. This was Reverend Ron Fox. Life is lived from within out. It is not what happens out there, but what we do or think about what happens. It's very easy to become overwhelmed, not just by world events, but also by the reactions that we see from politicians and news sources. But our job is to go deeper and to look beyond appearances. We must hold the vision that each of us is a child of God, and that love will always overcome hate. And so the spiritual activism today is to hold the vision that each of us is a child of God, and love will always overcome.